This weekend starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
What's bugging millennials? I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
Young adults in their early 30s are being hit again. First, the Great Recession as they graduated from college. Now, layoffs amid shutdowns. What's it mean politically?
On the tech front, the FCC has created a new lane for powerful new Wi-Fi, but when will it be widely available?
Love to travel but stuck at home? Hear how some people are responding to the new hashtag called the Travel From Home Challenge.
And those who've worked from home for years are now having to teach the rookies how it's done.
There's this group of people, fairly small, about 5.3% of Americans in the past, who mostly already worked from home. So they had their routines down, they had their offices, they had calm and, you know, peace. And now their spouse or, you know, someone else has come home, the rookie has come home, and it's just disrupting everything.
Jennifer Levitz at the Wall Street Journal on work-at-home newbies, breaking all the unwritten rules. One of the great aftershocks of the coronavirus crisis will be its impact on the economic trajectory and political attitudes of millennials, roughly defined as Americans born in the 1980s and early 1990s. Before this, they already have lived through two major shocks, the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the financial plunge of 2008 and 2009. What are they thinking politically right now? In-depth analysis from Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at the Wall Street Journal. Jerry, what are we learning about this group?
18% of the people we talked to said they had already lost the job, and that was much higher than any other age group. So these people are not only getting hit again, they're getting hit harder again than anybody else. And we learned in 2008, 2009, 2010 that these setbacks sometimes take years to recover from.
What does this mean politically? Because that's what so many people obviously are watching at this point.
That is a really good question. I think it probably compels these people in this age group in a large part to think even more that they need government help. So they are probably more inclined to think they need an activist government. But it also may feed their apathy about the political system. One of the things that concerns people who try to get people in this age cohort out to vote is that they feel somewhat detached from the political system. They kind of think the system has failed them. And so as a consequence, they're not as invested in the political system as you think they might be. And one of the challenges is to get people to vote. Next Gen America, which is an organization, a progressive group devoted to getting young people out to register and vote, has done some survey work and has found that, 53% of the people that they've talked to say that they feel somewhat detached from the system and maybe a slightly smaller group say they're not planning to vote in 2020. And so they may plug into the system because they're angry and in need, or they may check out of the system. It's hard to know.
Yeah, I think that was the point somebody made toward the tail end of your piece, saying there's plenty of room to gripe. You have plenty of reason to gripe, but you can't sit on the sidelines and expect change.
Right, and that's what I think a lot of young people are telling each other. Now, in the moment we're in right now, a lot of these people were Bernie Sanders supporters. All the polls told you that. Bernie Sanders is gone. They seem to be shifting their allegiances to Joe Biden, the Democratic, presumptive Democratic nominee. And in our poll, our NBC News poll, in this 18 to 34 age bracket, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump in a hypothetical matchup by 23 percentage points. So they are going to be a strong audience for Democrats and for Joe Biden. The question is, and it usually is with this group, how many will actually show up to vote?
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Coronavirus Deepens Millennials' Feeling That They Can't Get a Break. The support for Joe Biden, is that partly because Bernie Sanders has endorsed him and also partly because Joe Biden is not the current guy in the White House who you know, they might be holding this against President Trump just because of the timing?
Well, I think it's kind of all of those things. I mean, there is the endorsement that Bernie Sanders gave to Joe Biden was earlier and more enthusiastic than the one he gave Hillary Clinton in 2016. And so that's bound to help Joe Biden. So there is that. There is a strong anti-Trump sentiment among people in this age group by and large, not universally, obviously, but there's a strong anti-Trump current. So that feeds into this feeling as well. And there is kind of a belief that the Democrats have the answers that they're looking for on size of government, which we talked about a minute ago. There is also, though, a decided lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden. I mean, only a little over 20% of the people in this age group said they had really positive feelings about Joe Biden when we polled them. And so there is support for Joe Biden, but it's not enthusiastic support. And that takes you back to the question of turnout. Will people who say they're supporting Joe Biden but aren't really thrilled at it actually go to the trouble in November and show up to vote? That's that's always a question. It's particularly a question for this age group in this particular election.
Boy, one of the stats that stood out, too, that you cited, overall, just 13% of these younger Americans rate the current state of the economy as good or excellent. Was that prior to all the lockdowns?
No, that was in the midst of them last week. So, you know, you would expect lots of people to say the economy is not good, but that's even more true in this age group. And there's another factor here, which is people in the millennial age group also are less optimistic than other age groups that there will be some kind of rapid recovery from this economic hit. They have been hit hard, and they expect it to last for a while, even more than older Americans do. So they're very pessimistic. And, you know, as we talked about at the outset, they have good reason to be pessimistic.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at The Wall Street Journal. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up. Like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for everything you do. And we'll always be here to help you do it. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Last weekend of April, an ad hoc group of medical supply manufacturers has formed in the San Francisco area. It's a self-organized group of so-called makers who are donating their time and energy to make critical tools for frontline medical workers battling COVID-19. Their group is called All Bay Area PPE. One of the volunteers is Ian Sorensen, an industrial engineer with in-depth knowledge of 3D printing. He's with us from Alameda. Ian, what exactly are you guys doing?
So our team is actually making a variety of PPE gear for our care providers and our essential workers in the Bay Area. So we've got a group that's dealing with face masks. They're doing sewing, material distribution, breaking up material, laser cutting. And then we have a group that is dealing with intake and processing of PET or PETG material, which is soda bottle material, excuse me. That material then goes out to a variety of maker groups to either be die cut or laser cut or hand cut in some cases to be used for face shields, PAPR, which is a type of air-controlled mask system that's being used by nurses. And then we have other groups that are doing 3D printing, and primarily those 3D printer groups are making face shield components as well. So they'll be making the face shield frames, they'll be making lower components. So we kind of have a variety of efforts that are all being done at the same time, and then we're also distributing and working collaboratively, with different groups around the San Francisco Bay Area to make sure that all of our care providers are getting the tools that they need.
It's amazing because there's so many different groups and none of you, like, are on the same or you know, work for the same people, right? This is just for lack of a better term, like a disjointed group of volunteers coming together and turning out a final product.
It kind of is. And actually, it's a variety of maker groups that kind of had the capability previously, and they were using them, you know, for small volume production, or they were doing prototyping, or it was people that were doing, you know, side engineering work, and we all kind of spooled up spontaneously at the same time to tackle this problem together. So we're all working separately, but together to accomplish the same goals. And I guess the best way to describe it now is we're acting as distributed manufacturing centers to get tools out more efficiently than maybe a large factory would be able to, because it takes a lot of time to set up tooling, and you have large management structures and logistical structures where being the small independent teams that we are, it allows us to be more flexible and work more collaboratively with our local communities.
I saw that, I think I was reading that some of the folks who are working here or volunteering were recruited by social media. You know, how did you fall into this?
I fell into it the same way, as a matter of fact. So, funny story, I was actually laid off a while ago, and I've been looking for work, and when the shelter-in-place order occurred, I was kind of looking away for a way to volunteer, so I started getting onto my local Facebook groups, and somebody found a group that was called, I think it was Helpful Engineering, and it was a series of people on Facebook that were just looking to solve how to make field-improvised ventilators and how to get PPE out as quickly as possible. So one thing led to another, and I started 3D printing components at home, and then I got connected with another group in my hometown of Alameda, and I kind of threw up the message like, hey, what can we do collaboratively as a community to get parts out and to make things quickly for our nurses and frontline people that need this equipment that it doesn't exist. And through that messaging, I just connected with one group and then another group, and then it led me to the All Bay Area PPE, where I've been doing printing and face shield, you know, distribution, and it kind of spiraled from that point. And actually, most of the people that I work with all got connected through social media. So people that I wouldn't have known, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, now, you know, it feels like I've been working with them for years. And some of them I've actually never even met. We interact primarily through social media or through Slack boards. You know, it's just kind of spun up quickly. And, you know, it's weird talking about it because it feels like it's been forever, but it really hasn't.
That's remarkable. We're speaking with Ian Sorensen. He's volunteering with the All Bay Area PPE. They're making critical medical supplies for frontline workers battling the pandemic. He's located in Alameda, California. So when you started this, what kind of demand was there? How difficult was it to keep up?
It was actually kind of challenging. We've had quite a bit of demand, and most of our materials that we've received have been donated. You know, we've gotten people on the Facebook channel saying, hey, we need gear, we don't have gear, and then we've kind of spun up our own webpage, and we've done Google Forms trying to gauge what people need, and we'll get responses like, hey, we need PET now, and these are people across the country that we can't get to, so we've tried to connect to as many people as we can around the country. It's been quite a challenge.
Thanks, Ian. Ian Sorensen, he volunteers again with the group called All Bay Area PPE. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. The FCC has approved a new highway for Wi-Fi traffic, something it hasn't done in more than two decades. It's called Wi-Fi 6E, much faster than both 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. But don't expect your crowded house to suddenly be free of all Wi-Fi issues with everyone working and streaming under one roof. Here's why from tech analyst Rob Enderle, founder of the Enderle Group. Rob, what's this mean for us?
Well, it means you're going to get a lot more bandwidth. I mean, Wi-Fi 6, which is already out but most people don't have yet, is already pretty fast. That's fiber speeds over your Wi-Fi, but you can still have situations where the bands that you're broadcasting on are congested. In other words, you're in an apartment building or in an area with a lot of density, and everybody has their own Wi-Fi access point, and suddenly you're fighting for bandwidth with them, and that certainly will reduce your throughput. So this is going to open up another band on top of a 5 gigahertz band, a 6 gigahertz band, and for a while that's going to be pretty much just dedicated to whoever installs the then latest Wi-Fi access point. I'm actually not aware of any 6E access points that are out there yet, nor are there any 6E Wi-Fi modems out there yet. So the fact that the FCC did this is great, but it's probably going to take 6 months to a year before we have product.
So is that like having a Corvette but not a driver's license or keys?
Well, it's like suddenly you've recognized that somebody's made it okay for you to drive really fast on the freeway, but there are no on-ramps yet.
So is rolling out Wi-Fi 6E like way ahead of the game? Since we're not even using Wi-Fi 6?
Wi-Fi 6 yet. Yeah, that, well, I think they're just anticipating a future problems. Because they say 6 is a lot faster, and once we get everybody on 6, we're going to start reaching bandwidth capacity. So 6E anticipates that problem and will allow us to move around it. So like anything else, sometimes it's better to solve a problem before you have it, and that's what they're doing here, rather than do what we normally do is we wait till the truck runs over us, and then we say, oh, a stop sign would be a good idea here.
Yeah.
So now we're putting a stop sign in before we even open up the roads, which is probably wise.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. We're talking about the FCC approving a new lane for Wi-Fi traffic called Wi-Fi 6E. So you will need a specific device or a router in order to take advantage of this?
Yeah, you'll need, well, it's just like Wi-Fi 6. If you don't have a Wi-Fi 6 router, it doesn't matter which device you have. You're not using Wi-Fi 6.
Okay.
And if you don't have a Wi-Fi 6 modem, you won't be able to access it anyway. So it's got to exist on the device, and it's got to exist on the router. And as I say, neither are in market right now. So it's kind of a come-together thing that we probably won't see much pickup, probably earliest in fourth quarter on both sides. But for most of us, this will be a 2021 kind of an event that we'll want to watch. Just remember right now, if you want more bandwidth, Wi-Fi 6 is fine, and there are Wi-Fi 6 routers out there, but recognize you have to have either a Wi-Fi 6 phone or you have to have a Wi-Fi 6 laptop or something that uses it on the other end. Otherwise, you're buying a router, but you won't use the extra capacity.
All right. Typically, will all devices come out with it at the same time when it's fully available, like phones, laptops, whatever?
No, the same thing with Wi-Fi 6. You probably start at the top end of the market. Your most expensive phones, your most expensive laptops, they'll have it first, and then it'll trickle down throughout the population. I figure 2022 it'll probably be ubiquitous, but for now, figure by the end of the year in high-end devices, and then by the end of 2021, it'll trickle down into the mid-range and maybe into the low end. We'll see, but it'll take at least a year from when it starts to roll through the market.
All right, hurry up and wait. Tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka coming up this half hour, fighting coronavirus burnout. Also, a return to money basics in these chaotic investing times. Plus, work from home veterans have had it with you coronavirus rookies. It's a story in the Wall Street Journal. And the clever videos for hashtag travel from home. That story in about 20 minutes. A new survey finds nearly half of Americans still working, 45%, say they are burned out, with 1 in 4 placing the blame squarely on the coronavirus. How to help ourselves from this weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
What about it? We are stressed and we are burned out. Here with some tips on how to combat coronavirus burnout is consultant Janet McKee, author of Stressless Success, The Surprising Secrets to a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Prosperity. Janet, why are we getting burned out?
We think that we're a victim of everything that's happening around us. but you have the power within you to have a better outcome. And when we stress and struggle, we're choosing that, and we're putting up walls of resistance. And when we live our day with these walls of resistance that we're fighting against, it wears us out and burns us out.
All right, how do you decrease that resistance?
Okay, so many people out there say, oh, you just need to think positively, and you have to have a positive mindset. And I say that does not work in a situation like this. When we're really challenged and we have a lot of things that we're fearful about, if you try to force a positive thought, you actually put more of that fear out there in what I call your energy, and it can make the situation worse. So what we have to do is, first of all, realize that you're trying to make a leap too far, too fast, to think positively. So instead, we're going to think of climbing the ladder and choose one small thought at a time that feels better. It's the feeling that is the key, not what your head is saying. Then I recommend, as you're starting to climb the ladder and you say little things like, okay, we're all in this together, this is going to be short-lived, we're going to get through this, I'm a smart person, and you start climbing the ladder with thoughts that feel better, then walk away. When it doesn't feel better anymore, just walk away and do something that uplifts and expands the way you feel. Get outside, breathe fresh air, get with Mother Nature, walk your dog, play with your cat, dance or sing to some music that's uplifting. Do anything you can to expand and elevate the way you feel, because science has proven that's the way you feel that literally creates your life.
Janet, let's back up a step and talk about the signs of stress. How do you know that this is different, or what are the things that you're feeling that make you more stressed?
Well, you'll know how you feel, and that is the most important thing to be aware of. How am I feeling? Not what my head is saying, because your head's going in a million directions, but how am I feeling? And we know we're burned out when, even if we've had plenty of sleep, we feel fatigued, we feel anxious, we can't think clearly, we feel more edginess and maybe a shorter temper. Those are signs that are showing we're making bad choices within us.
We're speaking with Janet McKee, author of Stressless Success, The Surprising Secrets to a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Prosperity. Janet, what are the challenges of working at home and or of being laid off during this time?
Again, the challenges, sure, they're there. We're all dealing with it, myself as well. But you can focus on everything that's challenging about it and all of the issues and all of the frustrations, or you can focus on what is good.
This weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Janet McKee, author of Stressless Success. It's 22 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Look, there are lots of reasons to stay inside right now, and Harry's understands. That's why they ship their razors and accessories directly to you and me, so you can experience the quality of a Harry's shave in just a few days from the convenience of your own home. Oh, and the blade refills? Delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. And it's not just about convenience, it's about quality. The smooth shave I get from their precision-made 5-blade razor is amazing, and so is the refreshing scent of their foaming shave gel. It feels more expensive than it should be. Harry's is a return to the essentials, quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. They've cut out the middleman, manufacturing blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century, which means you get incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices. And right now, you can join me and the 10 million others who've tried Harry's by claiming your special trial offer by going to harrys.com/Gordon. That's right. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today. Hey, glad you're with us. Final weekend of April. As we try to figure out how to invest our savings, we need to tackle two separate but closely connected questions. First, why are we investing? Second, what are our most attractive investment opportunities? Back to basics in these volatile times with personal finance expert Jonathan Clements, founder of HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, what do you suggest?
In the current rough patch, what you want to be doing is stepping up your retirement savings rate, because more than likely you're going to be putting that money into the stock market, and right now we know stock prices are depressed. Plus, if you're saving for retirement, you know, you might be putting that money into a 401k plan, and that 401k plan may have an employer match. You put it all together, depressed stock prices, a 401k plan with a tax deduction and tax deferred growth, plus a matching employer contribution, put those all together, and that's a great investment potentially. But if you're sitting there at your job and saying, you know, they're talking about layoffs, I'm not sure, you know, whether I'm still going to be sitting in, you know, here 2 weeks from now, maybe what you need to be doing is actually accumulating cash. And when you accumulate cash, of course, what you're talking about is leaving it in a regular taxable account, probably putting it in a savings account, you know, earning less than 1%. The investment return is going to be far lower.
As part of that, would you include a Roth IRA?
So a Roth IRA is a really intriguing investment because it can be used for multiple goals. When you fund a Roth IRA, it has this unique feature, which is the money that you put in. Let's say you put $6,000 into a Roth IRA this year. If you put in that $6,000, you're allowed to take it out at any time with no taxes or penalties owed. We're only talking here about the contribution. In terms of any investment gains that you have, those you cannot touch until you're in retirement. But in terms of your original contributions, you can pull it out at any time. So that means that potentially your Roth IRA could do double duty. You could use it to fund your retirement account, but at the same time know that if you end up out of a job, boom, you can pull the cash out and help to pay the mortgage, pay the rent, whatever it is.
Speaking with Jonathan Clements, he's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. He's written a piece entitled Top Priorities, asking us basically to revisit a couple of main questions during these volatile times, such as why are we investing and kind of what is the best way to do that. One of the things you said, too, that, you know, let's say you're a Jonathan Clements devotee and you've got both retirement and financial emergencies covered, then what?
So from there, probably the next thing you want to do is think about paying down debt. And in fact, even for people who are worried about their job, this is probably a good thing to be doing right now. Let's say you've got credit card balances that are charging you 20% a year. You know, if you have extra cash, get those credit cards paid off. In the worst case scenario, you lose your job. What do? Well, you can always charge the credit cards all over again. You're going to be no worse off, and in fact, you'll be better off to the extent that you've avoided a certain amount of interest cost in the intervening period. So paying off credit cards can be a good investment. You avoid that 20% interest, plus you make your finances a little bit sounder. So if you do end up out of a job, you'll still be in decent shape. Yeah, so let me mention one thing that people do not think about, Gordon, that may be an opportunity right now. So while generally if you're worried about losing your job, you just want to accumulate cash in a regular taxable account so you'll have that for when you're out of work. But supposing you have a 401k plan with an employer match and that employer match happens immediately. So every time you contribute to your 401k plan, your employer kicks in a little bit of money. Let's say, you know, if you put in a dollar, that your employer kicks in 50 cents. Now imagine that you're 35, you lose your job, and suddenly you're going to have to tap that 401k plan to pay the rent, to pay the mortgage. Well, guess what? Even if you pull that money out, and even if you have to pay tax penalties, thanks to the employer match, you're probably still going to be better off.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Where do you go to find on-demand talent? How much will it cost? How can you be certain they'll deliver? Finding the right freelancer can be time-consuming, frustrating, and expensive. The answer is Fiverr. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, Fiverr is here to connect you with freelancers who offer hundreds of digital services to help your business evolve, adapt, and grow. With Fiverr, finding quality talent on demand has never been easier. Review seller ratings, buyer feedback, and select the right freelancer based on your budget. Plus, there are no unknowns. You'll know exactly what you're paying for up front, no negotiating needed. And when you give Fiverr a try now, you'll save. Check out Fiverr.com today and use my code Gordon to receive 10% off your first order. It's so easy. Find all the digital services you need in one place at fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's fiverr.com, code Gordon. Try Fiverr today. Glad you could share part of your weekend with us. Plenty of U.S. workers work from home occasionally, but only about 5% of Americans regularly did it in 2018. Then the pandemic sent the masses home to disrupt the regulars, and that's been obscuring a more frustrating adjustment, the work-from-home veterans grappling with the newbies who are suddenly in their space. Jennifer Levitz, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at some battlegrounds. Jennifer, what have you found?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about people working from home for the first time and straining to adjust and all that, but there's this parallel battle unfolding, which is the fact that there's this group of people, fairly small, about 5.3% of Americans in the past, who mostly already worked from home. And so they had their routines down, they had their offices, they had calm and, you know, peace and their schedule. And now their spouse or, you know, someone else has come home, the rookie has come home, and it's just disrupting everything.
How about wasn't there a woman who scolded her husband for, like, singing Scooby-Doo songs? And he's a teacher, I think, and she's on conferences all day.
Yes, exactly. I spoke to her. She lives in Denver, and she's a curriculum designer, and she has really gotten this down to science, working from home. She works in the dining room because she finds that the home office space is claustrophobic. And that was all fine until her husband, a teacher, came home. And she is learning that he has some interesting ways of letting off steam in the middle of the weekday, which is standing up and just randomly singing whatever comes to mind. And recently he was stuck on Scooby-Doo. So he would just be singing and not realize that she was on the phone or she could hear him. So she had to tell him, you can't just stand in the living room and sing Scooby-Doo. I'm on the phone.
We're speaking with Jennifer Levitz, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's done a funny story entitled Work From Home Veterans Have Had It With You Coronavirus Rookies. And what's interesting in your story, it's not really a battle over space to work from. It's really about etiquette.
Yes. They're, you know, I think people who work from home all the time, they really get used to not having coworkers, and they're on the phone a lot, but they're used to controlling their environments a little more. For instance, I talked with one man who is a consultant. He's been at home for more than a decade. He is very organized. He has his whole system down, charts every call, every priority in his calendar, and his partner is an attorney. She's used to a chatty office where people just pop by one another's desks and talk about things. So she'll do that to him now. She'll just come and stand right behind him, start talking to him, and he's just really taken aback. He's not used to that.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Levitz, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, and you could follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Weekend.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. The pandemic is forcing people to get creative if they want to hold on to those dreams of flying up, up, and away again. Social media users are now one-upping each other on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook by recreating scenes of themselves roaming through airports, gazing out of airplane windows, and even missing their flights. CNN Travel wrote about engineer Philip Klein Herrero, who lives in Barcelona, spending 10 hours creating an entire ski trip from bed sheets and ski equipment. They had been gathering dust since he'd canceled his annual family ski trip to France because of Spain's lockdown. Instead, he used his GoPro and a stop animation technique to recreate his trip. It's really cool. Another young engineer, Thomas Cervetti, used bed sheets, towels, and bookcases to recreate an entire surf trip in his home in Malaysia for Facebook. The idea also hit Instagram and became even more popular on TikTok using the hashtag TravelFromHome or the hashtag TravelFromHomeChallenge. Really inventive stuff. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.